Exactly halfway through the 10 o'clock hour. Welcome to the program today. You know, for the better part of the past 12 years, Micaiah Lee of The Bots has spent his adolescence in the spotlight. The Bots released 2 studio albums, toured around the world, landed glossy magazine spreads, and performed live everywhere from Coachella to Glastonbury at that time. And at that time, Lee was just 21 years old. Now, The Bots have put out an album. At that time, it was the 2014's Pink Palms album. Now, after 7 transformative years, Lee has a brand new outlook on life and himself, and he's got the remarkable new album called Two Seater to show for it. Here to hit us up with a couple of songs off of that album, we are so delighted to have live in studio, The Bots.
Hello, we are The Bots. next song is called See It.
Complain, but lately you seem fine. New waves, soft face, the rock.
That song called Girl Problems. The band,
Girl Problems. Thank you very much.
The band is The Bots. They'll be in here for a conversation in just a minute. Stick around. That's Azolla's and Young DiCaprio. 10:50 the time, 10 minutes shy of 11 o'clock, and man, let's talk about a blowaway set in the morning. Welcome to The Bots, and I mentioned that for the better part of the last 12 years, Mikayla spent his adolescence in the spotlight. They released two studio albums, toured around the world, landed glossy magazine spreads, and you know what? Spreads are better when they're glossy, trust me. They performed everywhere, from Coachella to Glastonbury at the time. You were just 21 years old the last time that you had put out an album. But yeah. Now we're looking at two-seater, and it shows that you've got a brand new outlook on life and yourself. This morning, we welcome for the conversation Alex and Mikayla. Welcome, Bots.
Thank you very much for
having
me.
Hello, thank you.
So glad to have you here, and thank you so much for a great live set this morning. So how are things different now for you than they were 7 years ago?
Just a lot of self-development, a lot of self-growth and stuff, you know? I mean, I'm still very young, 28, but a 21-year-old man on tour is trouble. Like, that could really get your head, yeah?
Right.
Like, I was 18 properly when I started doing things professionally as a musician and getting to tour. So 18 to 21 was my formative years, and me spending a majority of that touring, working, performing on tour. I mean, So a lot of people, a lot of yes men, a lot of people that are trying to cater to you, and you feel a certain way at a certain point. And I decided to take the time away from the music was me self-reflecting and learning that I'm, you know, remembering that I suck in front of my friends still. Like, I'm not as cool as I thought I was.
Right.
Like, that whole thing. You need your people to bring you back to reality. Like, like I was saying, not that I feel like I fell too prey. Like, I didn't feel like I was being taken in by it, but like it's all around you and stuff. Right. So it's hard to not be over encumbered with those feelings. And
I think the thing that I remember the most about being 21 was making really bad decisions. You can be capable of making just really bad decisions at 21, and most people blow it off to youth, you know, but it sometimes is around the influences that surround you and stuff.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. I feel like I'm lucky. I'm lucky enough to have been, there were so many other things that I could have got caught up with. And there are so many other people in bands. I'm not naming names of people I saw, just like,
right.
Let the rock and roll life take hold of them. And, yeah, just right. Relax.
And Alex, do you find you're a grounding, you're a method of grounding here, or does he grind, you know, are you grounded by him a little bit?
I mean, I'm definitely grounded by his experiences because, I definitely messed up when I was 21, but I wasn't even living the rock star life. I was just, it was kind of a pretend life. It was unhealthy, but I'm only a couple years older now. And I feel like it's a grounding experience, honestly, because he's been through it. And it's just really helpful to be with a band member who's been through those experiences and knows what to do and knows how to ground myself. So I feel like I'm being supported and I love the experience.
And this,
I think we both equally support each other within what we're doing. It's hard to do it all by yourself. So,
right. Yeah. Right. And if in upcoming tours, you now know, are there lessons that you're taking with you?
100%. Drink way more water than I was drinking on tour.
Water's
you forget. Friend. You think like, right. Yeah, you get super rocked out. You're like, beer is water, right? And it's like, no.
Well, Coors is.
Coors is water.
See, it's that mentality that gets you in trouble. Even thinking.
Can we get a sponsorship?
Am I sponsored? No, but honestly, yeah, like, even it's the small things, all the obvious things. Learn to thank every single person you working or come across, every person that is involved with putting the stage together, you know, all the people, just all that kind of stuff, like showing equal respect and patience for everybody, understanding that we're playing a part to make the bigger picture. We're all playing our part in this picture, big picture. And yeah, I mean, like all the other, I'm not going to say anything that hasn't been said. It's just, yeah, like be smart about your decisions, stay out of trouble, have fun, not too much fun, that whole thing. The thing that moms say.
And drink more water, for God's sake.
Eat salad on tour. Goodness gracious, especially if you go.
Salad?
It sounds like such a stupid, but like every single festival or show or backstage catering or any food situation, always French fries, always the same. Like you always, if you don't eat, go out of your way to find fruit and vegetables, you're probably not going to.
Oh, that may be the smartest thing I've ever heard in this studio, man. I swear, that might be the smartest thing any musician has ever said in here. It is.
It is so
important to have that diet that gives you energy instead of that diet that saps your energy with all the cholesterol-filled crap.
Right. Eat green food. The fact that you're performing every night when in those kind of circumstances, when you're on a proper tour and you're doing things, it's just vastly important to take care of. And as a young man, like I said, I did this all when I was like eight. Like, I didn't know better. I wasn't eating my vegetables. Like, I should have. I'd feel like poop halfway through the tour, and I'd be like, why do I feel so bad? Eat a salad halfway through. I'm like, okay, I feel a bit better. Drink a little bit more water. I feel really good.
Right.
And then I was able to perform.
It's like magic.
Yeah,
it really
like
is.
Magic. How'd you sleep?
Sleep is important.
It's not, I'm saying all of the basic things, but like, goodness gracious, I didn't realize the value of sleep, water, and healthy food until I had put myself through rigorous touring.
Right. How'd you two find each other?
I feel like I've always known Alex, but then Alex has a do tell us.
This is great.
I don't know. I don't exactly. Okay, I kind of remember. I was like through mutual friends from way back. We met up in like the backyard of someone's house for like a show that we put on called Lamp Fest, where everybody just brought a bunch of lamps.
Okay.
And they set up lamps everywhere, so that's why it was called Lamp Fest.
That's pretty. You know what? Why when in Rome?
When
there you
in, go. When in Lamp Fest.
Lamp Fest. Yeah.
And like I didn't talk much to you then.
Apparently.
I talked more to your brother, who was the drummer for the band.
Yeah. Okay. Apparently I'm a pretty cold person.
No, you're
my partner said the same thing.
You were busy, man.
Like 4 years ago, just said hello and like walked away. Same situation with Alex. Like I've met people. I don't know. I'm in my
Is it a shyness thing?
No. A little bit, man. People are hard to talk
to.
Dude,
I'm shy. That might be the thing also. Like it took like a couple years to like get to know you and then start producing music with you. And then one day you're just like, hey.
The question came, It happened very organically, I'd say, yeah. Right. Through our musical endeavors independently,
right.
We then found each other and, you know, like just circumstances. We needed things to happen and things happened.
Right.
That's the worst way of explaining this.
Well, no, that's actually a great explanation. It's the honest truth. It's what happened. The new album, Two Seater. So all three of those songs off of Two Seater that we just heard. So some good stuff there. Let's start with Five. And there's a thing here. 5 foot friendly, 5 feet friendly.
I do both.
Okay.
The label likes to say 5 foot. I think you like to say 5 foot. Now we'll change it up and say 5 feet friendly. Up to debate.
This is like 6 foot, 7 foot, 5 foot friendly.
Now I'm told that though you don't want to be cornered, pigeonholed into being called punk. That song had punk in it all through it. What are you talking about?
I'll take it. No, all right. I mean, and I say this like it's so divisive. Because I love punk music,
right.
And I that's where my roots, that's where the band started. Everything was like, let's play as fast as we can, as loud as we can.
Right.
Somewhat trying to prove a point as well. It was two people, and I wanted to sound big. I wanted to emulate what the White Stripes were doing, a big-sounding two-piece rock and roll band.
Right.
But I don't know. Like now, I mean, all these songs I consider pop. I'm trying to write catchy songs, hooks, pop songs. And I love it when a pop song can be outfitted. However, you know, pop music is just Beatles is a rock band, but they made some the most all of it was pop music.
They got in tune with their
White Stripes were a pop band, although they are like a garage rock band. Seven Nation Army is pop songs. So like I wanted to do something like that, and I also think there's nothing more punk rock than not playing punk music, in my opinion. Like the subversiveness of it, like Devo, Cockatoo Tootie, like all my favorite punk bands were like the bands that started off as punk and then like. And other things, the Talking Heads, like all those punk bands. I still love, like hard, you know, Flag and Threat, and all like the real punk bands, Circle Jerks, everything. I love it all, obviously. But and I had that phase. I played and screamed my lungs out. I did everything that I needed. I didn't do everything I needed to do as a young man, but I got off that energy.
Right.
I'm still gonna perform with it. Like you just said a minute ago, you thought that song had punk energy, and we're still gonna perform with that energy, even if I play an acoustic song. I'm still jumping up and down and belting it out like it is something more than what it is. But and that's where the punk attitude for me exists. I think we're always going to be punk in that regard, but I love to expand. I love, fusion and sound. We have some sound, we have some drum machines and like a lot of machine drum on the album. We have a lot of synthesizers. And
and you brought it all this morning.
played two samples.
So you mentioned about writing pop songs. Mm-hmm. So in the last year, as dark as everything has been around, how tough is it to write pop when there's so much darkness? Do you ever pull from the dark? Do you ever have to like pull yourself out to write pop?
No, I exist in all. I exist wherever I am. I do the music how I'm feeling when I'm feeling it. I admire bands that can sit down and be like, I'm gonna write a metal album and exclusively write metal songs 1, 2, 3 to the very end. But like I sit down and if I'm feeling a little bit more singer-songwriter, I'll stick with my acoustic and just try to work on a melody, trying to make something hooky in that way. Or if I want to make if I'm on guitar, electric guitar, and I'm chunking around with some distortion pedals, I try to come up with a riff, a catchy little ditty or something. And it varies. Like, that's a hard question.
You said the word ditty. We owe a record company 50 cents. Okay. Stop this.
Singing happy birthday song. Sorry.
So Alex on the drums and some vocals in there as well.
Yes, attempting to.
Yeah. So tell me about your background in drums. When did you start?
Started drums in like 10th grade. I don't even know what age that was. But I was classically trained, so I started on classical piano.
I was 31 in the 10th grade.
Subtle flex. So,
I was a slow learner, man. I was 31 in the 10th grade.
Yeah.
And I love that about music, that you could always get in it. And
you can always get in it, yeah.
There's no limitation.
I felt like I was so late.
What's his name? We just found he's 51 years old. I can't say his name right. I'm going to sound dirty.
It's okay.
How do you say his name? Y-V.
I have no clue.
So that's Eves.
Oh, no.
Eves. That's what Eves. I said. Eves. Yeah, he's like 51, and I was shocked.
He just started.
Like, being like, I don't know. I mean, he just got popular recently, but like that's
I don't know.
Of, like I was impressed, knowing that like, and nowadays, you know, before like the music was so like for women, you couldn't like break through if you were 30 as a pop star. And now we got like. You can just do whatever you want, which I love.
I know, yeah. Like, I literally learned from Rock Band and Guitar Hero. I didn't know how to play drums until I played Rock Band. That's how I learned.
Yeah. I love hearing that. I love hearing that. That's actually great. So, multi-instrumentalist over here. So,
both of you. Okay. Very hard.
So, so as well as drums, Alex, you play guitar. You play other stuff.
Cello. Yeah.
Cello.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is awesome. Yeah. This is awesome. So, is there a favorite? Do you have something you lean on?
I mean, drums definitely.
Yeah.
I'm definitely probably better at cello. But
were you classically trained?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I went to.
Family of musicians. He's going to be really modest musicians. And not mention.
I'm in a country band with my parents.
Classically trained.
We're pretty good.
My brothers are the guys from Two Cellos. Yeah. I just thought I'd mention that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, really? No.
No, I'm just kidding.
Start name dropping, Alex. Talk about Full House.
It's your turn. And Micaiah, you went right from guitar to bass and back.
Yeah. I try to do whatever else. It's definitely still difficult as a two-piece to switch up that many instruments. We're now experimenting with that because Alex does perform bass on other songs and does a little bit of drumming while playing bass and some keyboards sometimes. I do some keys depending on the songs. And yeah, it's just love my getting my hands on whatever I can. Loving making, especially as a two-piece band, you got to try as many things as you can within your capability
within your wheelhouse, if you will. Yeah. So if I had, and again, I find this unfair because it's like choosing between your favorite kids or whatever, but of the three songs I heard, I loved See It. I loved the second song you played.
Thank you.
I really, really like that. Tell me about that song. What went into the making of that?
That song. So I wrote a lot of these songs. People have asked about some of what the subject matter is. They are rooted in some of my upbringing, like some of the things I went through. A couple like love-ish songs, you know. It's easy to write about love. That's an easy inspiration for a lot of musicians. Right. But I do try to take myself away from that formulaic style of writing and just pick random subject matter. Or I love like the song "See It" is based off the phrase "I'll believe it when I see it," which is a part of the lyrics.
Right.
And so I have a running list of song titles and ideas for songs. I wrote that down one day, and was. I came up with that riff. I wanted something like that felt like a kind of a pop punk, dance punk rock riff, and it has that like headbanger. Right. Bah, 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 bah.
Yeah.
So I had that riff, and the lyrics came real easy to it. I was just use that phrasing that I came up with. I'll believe it when I see it. Kind of a boy who cried wolf or whatever like that. It's that kind of story. Right. It's nothing intensely deep, but.
But it sure did. It sure did get my head rocking. It really did, man. And I was bumping in here. I had it all the way up, and I had the headphones. I'm going to be hard of hearing, I know, in 5 years. But yeah, definitely worked for me.
Wonderful.
And I'm curious. The third song you performed was "Girl Problems."
Yes.
Is that your partner that we hear in the beginning?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
That is a sample from the Decline of the Western Civilization. You know,
okay.
The punk
yes. Yes. Yes.
One of the random girl punks talking about wanting to raise hell and be. A spectacle, and I just thought it was a fun little snippet.
Right.
Funny story, we had problems clearing that sample for the record version, so it doesn't exist on the record, but I like to play it live.
Well, thank you for doing that. Thank you. That is actually a really cool cool way to intro that. What's on the horizon? What do you got coming up?
We've got some things. We have a show tomorrow.
Of course. Yeah, that's where I was leading. I was just kind of like leading you there.
You're just breadcrumbs. Thank you very much. The trails led us right to the answer.
Right. We've been giving away tickets for that show tomorrow night all week long. So, yeah.
Please show up, everybody. Show up whoever's out there who's hearing it. We're going to have a great time. I might get a pinata. Who knows? I mean, we want to make it a fun show. Festivities and madness. We have that show coming up tomorrow at the Echo where we perform our record release. We have a tour that we're planning sometime, hopefully in the month of October, if not sometime November, which will be a Pacific Northwest run. So, we've got that planned and kind of hoping that those shows take us into the next year and we'll continue booking until we
get
overseas again and things like that.
So when you play a show like the Echo, what's the prep like? Is it different from the prep for Coachella and Glastonbury? Or is it exactly the same prep no matter the size of the venue, the size of the crowd? Is it the same exact prep for you?
Same prep. Mm. Yeah. I cry in the bathroom for about 3 days. Yeah. Just pray through all the gods, just Buddha.
I wet my pants.
Just like going through religions. Like,
right.
Now,
I love the thought of you crying in the shower, like the crying game. Yeah.
You gotta have a good cry first before playing every show. Yeah. I would say
I've got superpowers, so I kind of like I phase through walls and things like that. I give myself like a center myself, you know.
Right.
No, jokes aside, I do try to stay calm. Try to treat it like it's not a big deal, as stupid as it sounds, and not trying to belittle or lessen the.
Right.
Fantastic gigs that I've been able to play and festivals I've been a part of, but like, don't allow yourself to be freaked out by it.
Right.
I get super excited. I get super, you know, geeked out when something is in front of me. I get overstimulated. So I definitely try not to allow that to overcome me. I relax. I play the set through and rehearse it like as if it's just a bedroom gig, and then it comes time to play the show and. Depending on how I feel when I'm there. Sometimes you really don't know. You get to a gig and you're able to just look out at the audience sometimes and just stare people in the face and play the songs. And other times you're like, I just want to look down and not really do that. And
I find that fascinating. I really do. I find that fascinating. That moment must be, well, I'm making a decision now. I'm not going to. Is it a lack of engagement at that point?
No. I don't like to believe that. I love to give it my all. I bleed on stage. I sweat and give it my all.
Right.
I'm.
But like, sometimes it's a different look,
sometimes
right?
Sometimes it is a different look, you know. Like, and it's been a minute since we performed consistently, so I'm trying to get my mojo back just a little bit. It's a little bit. It's still, you know.
This will be about our third or fourth live performance that we've done.
Yeah, as the new formation.
But we've practiced
in the
a lot. So.
Yeah, we've practiced a lot, but still, even like, just yeah. Like I said before, just being in front of people and feeling the energy, feeding off the energy. You never know how. Like I said, try to give it my 100% every single time, but like the audience does give you energy and you never know what you're going to feel from the crowd. You never know what you're going to be getting. So
you mentioned your brother earlier. Mm-hmm. Does he ever join in? Does he ever? No,
unfortunately not. Okay. He performs in his own group now and that's his musical endeavor.
That's his world.
That's my world now.
So. Yeah. Right on. All right.
But, the fact that we're both continuing to do music is great though.
Okay. The band is called Two Seater. You heard a few songs from it today. Where do our listeners? First of all, they're going to have to support you tomorrow at the Echo. Let's just make that clear right now.
Tomorrow
night. But if we're going to purchase your music, where can we purchase your music that benefits the band the most?
All the major like iTunes. You could pre-order the album on vinyl currently. I don't know. I mean, wherever it...
The vinyl, definitely.
Yeah, the vinyl...
It's on September, I think.
Yeah. Stream the album, listen on Spotify, listen on Apple Music, any other large streaming platforms, YouTube, all the videos are there, all the songs are up on there.
Anything on your website?
I'm sure there is. I'm sorry, I feel bad.
You got any swag? No, that's all right. No.
I'm sure it'll end up there if it's not there currently.
All right. And I would imagine that the swag you have has amazing designs.
The past designs you have are pretty gnarly.
I love art and I feel like the full package representing the band in the way that we feel.
Well, this community is going to support it because it's an artist community. So we're supporting. We totally are behind you guys, man. We're digging you guys, and we wish you nothing but all the success in the world.
Thank you so much.
All right, so tomorrow night at the Echo.
Yes.
And then purchase their music wherever you find it. The new album is Two Seater. Alex and Micaiah, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.